All right, this morning we're talking about The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. You guys ever seen that movie before? Anybody seen the movie, read the book? Anybody here? Any of these people? All right, we've got a few hands. All right, a few believers among us. That's awesome. All right, before we get started, though, I have an apology to make. I normally have inserts, right, every single week. And this morning I realized, or my wife asked me, she said, did you print your inserts? Because they weren't printed last night when we came up here to do that. And I said, no. They were sitting on my computer. I forgot to print them off. So if you need one of these, I'm going to have the deacons or something. Maybe Philip can grab them for you. There should be some. Jim, are the extras in the back? There are some extras in the back. If you would like one of these to take notes on, raise your hand and we'll get one to you. Dean's got them. All right. So Miss Jill would like one. Karen would like one. Sally would like one. My wife and I, we have some dear friends from Omaha here this week with us. And it's really good to have you guys here. Jeremy and Karen kind of, man, they were our rock when we needed one for a little bit. We got a cry on their shoulder. Jeremy and Karen, they're just really dear friends. I got to tell you, the first time we saw them, okay, they look really young for their age. All right, they're both in their 60s. No, that's a bad joke. They're not. But the first time we saw them, they walk into this adult Bible class, and I think here are two teenagers that are pregnant. Like, what in the world? Because she was very pregnant. And the first time we thought, oh, man, what a hard situation. Well, they were our age and married, and it was weird. All right. So everybody got one now? We all good? Everybody good? All right, Sissy, here you go. Thank you. All right, The Good and the Bad and the Ugly. We're in Hebrews chapter 11. On that outline, you will see page numbers. Those are for your pew Bibles. They will probably not correspond with your Bible. But if you did not bring your Bible today and you want to follow along in the pew in front of you, there are some pew Bibles there. And you can find the page number of the passage you're going to be looking at. And it should correspond there so you can follow along in God's Word as we do this. The good, the bad, and the ugly. We're talking about faith today. And I know you're probably wondering, what does faith have to do with the good, the bad, and the ugly? Well, in Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to be looking at this. We're going to get an understanding today of how God helps us as we evaluate the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because sometimes life is that way, isn't it? You get the good, you get the bad, you get the ugly, all in the same day. You ever had a day like that? Right? The good, the bad, and the ugly. Hopefully it ends on the good, but sometimes it begins on the good and ends on the ugly, doesn't it? Right? I mean, you have one of those days, you're just not ready for whatever happens. Well, faith helps us as we go through those times. The idea for this message today is this. Faith does not guarantee life will be good. Can I get an amen on that one, right? We're there, huh? But faith does guarantee to help us through the good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay? Now, a little disclaimer. All right? This is not going to be a story about me and my childhood and comparing my brothers and sisters to me and all that good stuff. Right? We're not going to do that. You can laugh. That was a bad joke, but you can laugh. All right. It was a bad joke. Thank you, Rachel, for supporting me in this. Okay. My wife is always there for me when I need her the most. Oh, man. You guys should be around the kitchen table in the Bear household someday. It's hilarious. We went to Valentino's this week. You guys remember last year for the Pastor Appreciation, you guys got us a certificate to go to the Children's Museum at Kearney, right? And so we went up there and we went to Valentino's buffet while we was there. And the people next to us, they were the next one over, they just kept looking at us and laughing and then eating again, looking at us and laughing. And it was fun, wasn't it, Eden? No, she said no. All right. Well, Rachel and I had fun at their expense, but we had a blast. They were asking for a different table. All right, so my little kids, they can understand that faith not guaranteed life will be good. Say, dear God, why are my parents? All right. But it does help us through the good, the bad, and the ugly. It starts out, faith helps us see the good for what it is. In our world today, oftentimes people, when they see good happen, it's, well, coincidence, right? People say that a lot, coincidence. Or you'll throw out the word karma, you know, good karma, bad karma, they throw these things out. Faith helps us see the good for what it is, a gift from God. That's really what it is. Faith helps us see the good for what it is, as a gift from God. In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 32, are you reading in verse 32, Hebrews chapter 11, the words are up on the screen as well for you. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection. Wow. You sit there and you think about these people that I mentioned there, and you just, it's wow, okay? For some of us it is, because we remember these stories. We remember going back and reading the stories in the Old Testament. Now some of us, you guys have no idea what that means. Who are these people? Who are Gideon, Barak, Samson? Who are these guys? Who's Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets? What's the significance of these guys? Faith helped these guys do some crazy, miraculous things. It helped them experience good, recognizing the good was a gift from God. Let's look at these just briefly. We're going to look at these. Gideon. Gideon defeated 135,000 enemies with 300 men. Now, for Brian's sake, I put up a fun slide here, okay? There's, thank you, Brian. Yeah, there's one little emoticon, and then right over here, there's a whole bunch of others, okay? So the odds were 1 against 450. Now, believe it or not, there's only 300 on this screen. I'm 150 short. I apologize for that. Okay, but that's the odds in this battle. 1 against 450 guys. And then, of course, if one of those guys goes down, then your numbers increase, right? So this is, as my grandpa would say, make sure you eat your Wheaties this day. You're going to need them, all right? He would always tell me that. Have you eaten your Wheaties today? I knew to be nervous on those days. All right, but this is kind of the odds. Not necessarily good odds, are they? And he defeated them through God's power. The Bible says they sit on the hill, they surrounded the city, the Amalekites, they surrounded them, they blew their trumpets, they broke open their lanterns, and the Amalekites, in their own confusion, turned on one another, and it was a complete rout without the children of Israel having to raise a hand against them. God fought the battle for them. That's what faith does. God goes before us and he fights the battle. That's the miracle of faith. Barak, 900 chariots were amassed against him, plus all those other troops that were coming against him. Barak had 10,000 men, but you understand that this is like the infantry going against the tanks of the day, right? Not good odds. Again, not good odds. Barak defeated them. Barak was, to a degree, he had a hard time. He was struggling with this. In fact, he wasn't so sure that this was a good idea. And he said to Deborah being one of the judges, he said, look, I'm not so certain this is going to work, so I need you to come with me. And Deborah said, because you didn't have enough faith on your own, the victory will be handed to a woman. And it was a woman who killed the commanding officer, the lead officer of the enemy army. God gave the victory to a woman, but it was God who gave the victory. The scriptures say God sent a storm. The rain and those chariots, as you know, do not go good in mud, right? Okay? The four-leg drive was not working out so good for these things. And Barak and his men defeated the enemy army, again, through faith. Samson, the strongest man ever. I have always wondered, I wish there was some way to measure the actual strength of Samson. They bound him with new ropes, and he broke them as if they were burnt twine. Can you imagine the strength of this man? He goes to the city gates. He yanks it, posts and all, out of the mortar, out of the ground. He pulls it out of the ground and walks off with it. Can you imagine the strength of this man? He kills 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey in one day. 1,000 Philistines he kills with the jawbone of a donkey as his only weapon. I mean, Chuck Norris ain't got nothing, right? I mean, I hope Chuck's not listening to this because he's going to come show me what he's got, all right? But when you consider that to Samson, he's got nothing, okay? This guy was incredible through the power of God. And the day of his death, they led him to the pillars of the building he was in. And with all his might, he pushed against them and brought the building down. And he killed more Philistines the day of his death than he did in all of his life previous. The power of this man through God. Faith helps us see the good for what it is. It's a gift from God. The good in our lives, when we have them, we need to recognize it as a gift from God. That's what faith helps us see. Jephthah, 20 cities he and his men routed. 20 cities Jephthah took down through the power of God. David, you guys know David, defeated Goliath. The story of David and Goliath, one of the most famous stories. They still talk about it in sports. They use it in analogies. The David and Goliath story, right? We hear this over and over again, how the low man on the totem pole defeats the big guy, I mean, that's what happens. You have the underdog who wins, the David and Goliath stories. Miracle on Ice, 1980, the U.S. Olympic team. Remember that one? They went up against the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union, who had never before lost a battle in the 1980s, U.S. Olympic team defeated them. They called the David and Goliath the Miracle on Ice. Those are the stories that we have. And yet David, he wasn't a perfect man, was he? He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. He was all those things, and yet God still used him. He was a man of faith, and faith helps us see the good for what it is. God still used David, so much so that God called David a man after his own heart because of David's faith. David recognized that he was not perfect. He sought forgiveness for those times that he did wrong. He begged God for forgiveness, and God did forgive him. And David was considered a man after God's own heart because of his faith. Samuel, the last judge, the last judge of the nation of Israel, Samuel appointed kings. Can you imagine the power of that? God say, okay, Samuel, I'm going to go to you and I'm going to tell you who to anoint kings as kings of the nation of Israel. Saul and then David. This is what Samuel did. Samuel was used by God and faith helped Samuel do that. And then the prophets, think of all the prophets. This is a section of the Bible, you know, you talk about Nebraska being a flyover section. Sometimes the minor prophets, major and minor prophets in the Old Testament are the flyover section of the Bible, right? We know they're there, but man, it's kind of boring. Well, that is until you start reading it. The story of Jonah. Jonah talked with God. Was he a perfect man? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. He went, not necessarily because he wanted to, but because God told him to, and God really kind of forced him into it, right? I mean, if you got swallowed up by a fish, do you think at some point you're going to start thinking, maybe I should have done something different in my life, right? This is Jonah, okay? And Jonah recognized that God was who God was. The prophets, they all spoke with God. What would that be like today if you had God actually speak to you? Can you imagine what that'd be like? The voice of God coming to you. Man, that'd just be incredible, I would think. That'd be absolutely incredible. We sit there and think, well, looking at Jonah again, how could this man who talked to God, how could he try to go against him? That doesn't even make sense, does it? Well, we've got to cut him a little bit of slack because God has talked to us very clearly for a couple thousand years now, and we still kind of ignore it, don't we? We kind of laugh a little bit, and yet inside we're like, ugh, man, Pastor, hitting a little close to home there. Well, sometimes, all right? The prophets spoke to God. Those prophets mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, all those things that they did. Going back to Hebrews 11, look at what happened. They conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, as Daniel in the lion's den. Another famous story of the Old Testament, where God intervened. Daniel, through faith, would not give in to the king's demands, would not stop praying to God. He was thrown in the lion's den, and God intervened. That's what faith does. They quenched the power of fire. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They were in the fiery furnace, walking around in the fiery furnace. These are stories of the Old Testament. These are faith stories for us. And that same God today has that same ability to do that. But as we know, sometimes we don't always experience those miraculous good things, do we? We don't. We don't always experience that. But there is a lot of good in our lives. And the ultimate good that we have right here, I mean, I love this. In John chapter 14, 16 to 17, Jesus is talking to disciples here, and he says this. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. What Jesus is talking about here is the Holy Spirit. You talk about the ultimate good in your life is God living within you. How much better does it get than that? According to a t-shirt that I saw the other day, how much gooder would it get than that, right? Thank you, Brian. All right. So, when we sit and think about it, and you sit and think, my life has nothing good in it, it's because you don't understand the Scriptures. If you say that and believe it, you don't understand the Scriptures. Because if you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit living in you today. And that is good. And when we think about the good in our life, the Holy Spirit, it is a gift from God. It is a helper that God has given us to get us through the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't get any better than that. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that allowed Samson to be the strongest man ever. The Scriptures are very clear that the Spirit came upon Samson. That's the Holy Spirit. We have that. God's Spirit is with David. We have that same spirit. God's spirit is with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, all those people, and we have that same spirit. Faith helps us see the good for what it is a gift from God, and the Holy Spirit is a gift from God, and we have that. That is God's promise to us. He dwells with you and will be in you. We have the Spirit in us today. When I was preparing to go in seminary, yeah, you laughed, Janet. All right. The first couple times I ever preached, there was one guy that heard me once. He said, "I don't think you're going to make it." All right? And you know what? He was right. It was horrible. Okay? It was horrible. I remember sitting in seminary and the pastor and the professor's like, he said, "Okay, you know, you're nervous now, but it's going to get better." And I'm laughing to myself. I sure hope so. Right? But the Spirit has given me the courage to be up here today. I never would have imagined when I was doing that I'd be comfortable doing this on a Sunday morning. I used to throw up before preaching. That's how nervous I was, okay? And God has given me a new spirit. That's the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And that same spirit is within you today. The Spirit helps you. The Spirit gives you the courage to talk to your neighbors, to talk to your friends, to talk to your family members about spiritual things. That's the power of the Spirit. Faith helps us see the good for what it is, a gift from God. Faith helps us endure the bad. We've been there, haven't we? We've all had that. Going back to the central idea, faith does not guarantee life is always good. It does not. And God never says life will always be good. It does not. But faith helps us endure the bad. Going back to Hebrews chapter 11. Finishing that passage out there, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 35a, says this. It says, "Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword." That is not good, is it? There's no way to look at that and say, man, that's a horrible situation. But faith helps us endure the bad. And the bad, if you're not already in it right now, at some point you're going to be in it. We all know that some of us at some point in our life are going to endure some bad things. Unfair, sometimes. Unjust, sometimes. Deserved, well, yeah, sometimes deserved too because of our own actions. But we are going to endure some bad things, and faith helps us endure the bad. Why else would these men do this? Why else would they endure it? But because of faith. Faith helps us endure the bad. I've got some stories here I want to share with you. Reverend Abdurrahim and Reverend Shamal, they live in Sudan. Right now they're being tried for crimes against national security because they helped a native who was injured. They took him in. He was injured, but he was a native of Sudan, and the Sudan government says he's trying to rise up against us. And so therefore, anybody who helps him is also a subservient to the government, and we don't want that. And if they are found out to be guilty, they will be killed for what they did. The punishment is death. Right now, these men, they believe they were doing the right thing, are being held on trial for what they did. In July 20, 2016, Russia passed a new law lumping people who state that their religions are better than other religions are going to be considered terrorists. Christianity is clear because Christianity believes God's word is true. God's word says there's only one way to heaven, that's through Jesus. Any other faith that teaches that is wrong. According to the Russian government, that's a terrorist act to say that. There's imprisonment or a fine of up to 4 years' wages if you're found guilty in the land of Russia right now. Faith helps us endure the bad. I got an email this past week from a friend of ours, actually came in a week ago, missionary that we support. The names have been changed, but I'm going to read this email to you. Our friend writes, "Kim, who lives in a foreign country, called us and spoke with heavy emotion in his voice of recent events in his life. He said his brother became a Christian after watching our TV programs and receiving a Bible. Although it's unknown how they discovered this, the authorities arrested him and threatened execution unless he denied Christ. Kim said, I tried hard to make my brother repent and come back to Islam, but he refused to deny Christ. The authorities threatened my entire family with execution unless they rejected my brother, and so we did. A week went by, and Kim called back. He was furious. My brother was executed in front of my eyes. His head was separated from his body in front of every member of the family. You preachers deserve execution because it was you that sent the Bible to my brother. That book is not a book of life, but a book of death. The call ended as Kim cussed through the phone, swearing, "If I can get to you, I will avenge my brother's blood." You can pray with us for Kim. Pray for his family as they go through this hard time, and praise God that his brother is now with the Lord. Sobering, isn't it? And it should be. These stories in the Old Testament and the New Testament of the trials these people went through are still happening today. We in America are kind of sheltered from this, but it's coming. And we see that it's coming. We look at where we are as a nation compared to where we were even 15, 20 years ago. We look at the presidential candidates we have and we shake our heads and say, wonder why. Republican Party thinks their candidate should be in jail. The Democratic Party thinks ours should withdraw completely because of his comments that he's made. Both parties have valid points, don't they? Frankly, I'm to the point where I'm praying that God stops this election somehow, right? I mean, you sit there and think about it, man, Lord, what in the world are you doing? Okay, but God is doing something, and faith helps us embrace that. Faith helps us recognize that God is still at work. Even in the bad, God is at work. When I applied here a year ago, I made comment to some of the committees. I said, you know, I imagine there might be a time when we have to choose jail over preaching God's word for what it really says. And I think we're headed there as a nation. Will it happen in my generation? I don't know the answer to that. But it wouldn't surprise me if it does. When you look at where we've come in 30 years, when you look at where we come, and if I minister for 30 more years, how much more worse is it going to get? There may come a time when we as individuals have to choose the gospel over imprisonment or worse. Faith helps us embrace the bad. It helps us embrace the bad, knowing it's preparation for us. The bad is preparation for us. John chapter 15, 18 through 19, we read this. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. Again, this is Jesus talking. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Do you feel it? Some of us may not feel it very much yet, but the time is coming. This is Jesus' promise to us that the world hates us. We should not be surprised when the bad comes. And faith helps us endure the bad. And faith helps us embrace the ugly. And you say, yes, Pastor, we hired you. Okay. All right, that wasn't nice. But I heard it. Okay, I heard it. Y'all were thinking it. Anyway, faith helps us embrace the ugly. Let's finish that paragraph out there in Hebrews chapter 11. Beginning in verse 37b, it says this. They went about in skins, in the skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts, in mountains, and in dens, and caves of the earth. Their life was not what we would say a beautiful life, what we would call a beautiful life, was it? They lived in squalor, for lack of a better term, caves, hidden out in caves, skins of animals for their clothes, wandering about in deserts and mountains, places where no one else wanted to live, is where they lived, these people of faith. But faith helps us. Faith helps us embrace the ugly. Why? Because faith promises us something a little bit better. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. And I love the promise at the end of that. Your sorrow will turn into joy. Now, at what point will all sorrow turn into joy? That is the point when Christ himself returns for us. We embrace the ugly because something beautiful is coming, right? Something beautiful is coming, and that is Christ himself coming for us. He has something better for us. We will lament. We will weep. And right now we are. When we sit and think about the culture of our world, what it's like, even America, what it's like, we sit there and some of us weep. We lament for our nation. We lament for the world around us, but God says, I will turn, at some point, I will return your sorrow into joy. That will happen for you. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Now, if that doesn't bring a smile to your face, you're not really understanding what that says. Right? If that doesn't bring a smile to your face, we at some point are going to see Jesus in his glory for who he is. We're going to see Jesus face to face. And the Bible says that our sorrow will be turned to joy. And that will never, ever, ever be taken away from us. That is God's promise to us. And people, we should be excited about this, shouldn't we? We should. Faith helps us see the good for what it is. It's a gift. Right? It helps us endure the sorrow, the sufferings of the world, the bad things of this world, knowing it prepares us to live in this world. It prepares us to embrace the ugly, and the ugly, we embrace it because we know something better is coming. Something beautiful is coming, and our joy will never be taken away from us. So what? What does this mean to us? This is a good question. So what? 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. I love this passage. In this you rejoice. Going back to that joy and rejoice. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise and glory and honor of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our trials we go through now, they are going to result in the praise and glory and honor of Christ. That should be exciting to us, right? Absolutely exciting to us. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and though you do not see him now, you believe in him. That's faith. You believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. If somebody comes up to you and they says, look, you have a home mortgage. I'm going to go ahead and pay that off for you. The check's in the mail. Has your home mortgage really been paid off yet? No, it hasn't. Once you get the check, has it been paid off yet? No. Once you cash the check, has it been paid off yet? No, it's not paid off until you actually put the money in the bank and they send you a note and say, yep, you're done, right? We have been promised a salvation by God. And we know it's there. We know it's coming. But until that moment when there's a separation and we as believers are raptured into heaven, that's when we finally experience that salvation, isn't it? And our time is coming when we experience that salvation. And from that point on, our joy shall never be removed from us. And that's faith. And I'm excited about it. And you should be excited too. Because that's what God does in us. Right? It's faith that kept you guys going for years without a pastor here. And numbers dwindling and it was hard. And you were wondering, what God, what are you doing? Right? It's faith. It's faith that kept me going as a pastor when I wondered, am I even fit to be in ministry? And I didn't know. And I was crying out to God. And people surrounded me and said, yes, you can still do it. And then God brought us together. And look at where we are. People, that's faith that God helps us do this. Was it bad? Yes. Was it ugly? Yes. And now we're in a good time. It's a gift from God, isn't it? It's a gift from God. And faith helps us see these things as a gift from God. Faith helps us endure the bad things. Faith helps us embrace the ugly, knowing something beautiful is coming. And Christ is coming. And he's taking us to a beautiful place. Faith helps us with that. So what do we know? Just a brief rundown here. We know that we will be grieved. You are guaranteed that you will go through some grief in your life. We know that's going to come. You will be tested. Do not be surprised by this. Our faith will be tested. We should be looking forward to that moment. Christ, the night before he died, he said, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done. Nobody wants to go through trials, do they? Christ himself did not necessarily want to do that. He says, any way, let this cup pass from me. But then he said, yet not my will, but your will be done. And those times in our life, I pray that if that moment comes to me, that I will respond just like that. Say, God, I don't want to do this. But Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And I pray that that's where you are too. Our faith will be tested. But Christ will be glorified. That is the guarantee. When our faith is tested and we come out the other side more strong, stronger than we were going in, then God himself, Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the three in one, they will be glorified through our faith. Through the testing of our faith, they will be glorified. And we will rejoice. It's another promise. We will rejoice. If you're living a life right now and you're just in the middle of a hard time, if sorrow is weighing heavily upon you for whatever reason, and I don't know the reasons, but there may be something here. Somebody here today may just be going through an incredibly hard time. But God's promise that there's coming a moment in your life when you will rejoice. You will, and faith helps us see that. And we will receive the outcome of our faith. The outcome of our faith is salvation. God has promised it. The Holy Spirit has sealed us. I want to read this passage in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. I didn't write that down. There it wasn't recorded. But as I sit here thinking about it, I got to read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. It's just an amazing passage that talks about what faith does. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. I'm going to begin in verse 11. In Him, that's Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, this is Christ, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, when you place your faith in Him, this is the amazing thing, we're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. God Himself is a guarantor of our debt. And He says, I am going to be the one to sign your collateral note. I will sign that. I'm going to be the one, and when it comes time, I'm going to pay it. Because there's nothing you can do, but it's already taken care of, and that's my promise. And I'm giving you my Holy Spirit to show you that I'm serious about this. And faith helps us see that. Do you see the Spirit living in you? Do you experience that today? Faith, people, this is what faith does. And sometimes we go through those incredibly miraculous moments that may not be as big as what those people mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. You know, we may not stop the mouths of lions. We may not quench the power of the fire. We may not do that. But there are little things in our lives that happen all the time. Little things in our lives that we should embrace God for and say, praise God for that. A funny story. Not spiritually oriented, but it's still a fun story. My lovely bride and I went to Grand Island this week. They had a meat sale on. We heard about this meat sale on Sunday, and there was a meat sale going on. We hadn't had chuck roast in a long time. I shoot deer, right? Okay, and deer roast and chuck roast, a little bit different in a slow cooker. Okay, you got to understand this. They're just not quite the same. So we went to this meat sale. We do the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University. Okay, anybody here do that one? It's really awesome. You guys haven't. You really should, let me tell you. But what that means is you can't go overdrawn because you only use cash, right? And I haven't found a grocery store yet, so well, I only have a 10. Will you just pretend the other one is there to pay my $20 bill? They won't do that, right? So that being said, knowing where our envelope was, we thought, well, we've got some in here. We've got some extra, but we can't do much. What can we do? So we have a coin jar. You guys have coin jars? All right, we have a coin jar in our house. But let's just cash that coin jar and see where that gets us. We cashed the coin jar and went to the grocery store. We thought, okay, we're going to get what we want, you know, not some things that we need, okay? These are all wants. These aren't needs. Our needs are being provided, okay? The church is providing a good salary for us. Our needs are met. These are wants. Like, who doesn't want New York strip steak? Can I get an amen, all right? We went to the grocery store, and I kid you not, when we cashed that check, went off the grocery line, we had 3 pennies left. Was that a good thing? Absolutely. Was that a God thing? Absolutely. And in your life, all of us have those good moments. All of us have those things that happen, sometimes in the middle of bad. Are you looking for the good? Are you looking to have your sorrow turned into joy? Are you looking for that? God has promised He will. Are you looking for that? Faith helps us see these things. Faith helps us embrace these things. Faith helps us endure these things. Faith helps us go through this. Because faith, our faith is centered on God, and God Himself has promised that He's there. Our faith can make an impact on our lives now. Are you looking for God to work? Are you ready for God to work? And as we move to the future, are we expecting God to keep His promises? Faith is an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. And faith can change your life. It absolutely can. As we close here, I just want you to think. For just a moment. This last thing mentioned here, we receive the outcome of our faith, and that's salvation. But that's only based upon Christ. He says in John 14, verse 6, He says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. If you have never placed your faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, than this outcome, the salvation guaranteed right here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. You don't have that guarantee. But if you want that guarantee, it's available to you. It's available to you. All you got to do is say, God, you know what? I recognize that you are the only one that can forgive me for my sins. And Lord, I'm asking you to do that today. And that's all you need to do. It's not a fancy song and dance. You don't have to give money to the church. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to go to confession or anything outside of confessing to God that I need you as my Savior for forgiveness of my sins. And when you do that, you are in God's family.